We'll have community quick hits coming up here in just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So stand by for that. But right now, it is time for us to review the film Rocketman, which we saw last night.
We did at the Alamo Draft House up in Richardson. That was our first of our summer movie series, and that was quite the showing. Had that sucker sold out, and everybody anticipating the new Elton John biopic, because I really didn't know what to expect. Although I had read decent reviews on the movie, I held back on actually reading plot lines and things like that, because I hate doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Movies that I really want to see, and I did really want to see this. And so whenever the movie opened up with him in some crazy Elton John outfit.
Like a devil outfit.
Yeah, in a devil outfit, walking into what appeared to be an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and suddenly it broke out into full song and dance. And I'm like, oh, this is a full-on musical movie.
Damn near.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It was Broadway all the way.
Yeah, it was. And you know what? I loved it.
It was fantastic.
I thought it was so clever and so well done and so right up Elton John's alley.
I was hoping for more biopic, but on its own terms, yes, it was. It was quite good.
To make
it quite good. Just know before you go, though, that this is no biopic. This is Elton John brought to Broadway.
Had this story been told to appeal to the audience that Bohemian Rhapsody geared their story to appeal to, this is about as cliche and redundant of a rock and roll, rags to riches story, and then succumbing to alcohol and drugs and then redemption that you'll ever see. Because that part of the story is so surface, and you've heard it a million times. Nerds are going to want to know more about his relationship with Bernie, which I thought they did a great job in incorporating him into damn near the entire film. Bernie Taupin,
his co-writer or co-songwriter.
But the way they did this and used his songs to illustrate particular points in his life that were difficult for him, I thought was brilliant. And the way that the songs weren't necessarily performed just by Elton John, whatever the scene was, if it was a scene with his mother and his father, they might take a line, the dad might take a line, then it would go back to him, and then it would expand into maybe the whole neighborhood dancing, and it was really brilliant, man.
It's out there.
Yeah.
It's way, way out there, but I agree, and at the heart of it all is Taron Egerton as Elton John, and boy, was he great or what?
Sensational.
Okay, here's what I'm thinking, because, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody was fine. Had no problems with it. It was fun. But it was more about Rami Malek portraying Freddie Mercury than anything else.
Yep.
Am I wrong to say, and maybe I got to go revisit Bohemian Rhapsody, and he won Best Actor, for God's sakes. Am I wrong thinking that Taron Egerton was way better than Rami Malek was? Like, maybe put more, there was more to it, I guess. I shouldn't say better. That required a lot more of an actor doing what he did than what Malik did.
Malik basically just, he mimed, he mimicked, and he did a fantastic job of it. Kind of like the way that Bale mimicked Chaney and was fantastic at it. This was an interpretation. I don't think a lot of people know enough about Elton John's personal mannerisms to be able to say whether he did a good job mimicking Elton John, but he can sure as hell conveyed the emotion of Elton John. It was a great acting job.
Yeah, it was a great acting job, but I thought Malik was too. Malik as Freddie Mercury was too.
He was. I don't disagree with that, but there was so much more to this. Dude, this took a ton from an acting standpoint.
Yeah.
And that was him singing everything. Did you know that?
Yeah,
dude, that's Taron Egerton just like, hey, can you sing? I don't know.
Let me try.
Yeah. But can you sing just like Elton John? Yeah, I guess.
Not really, and that's what I liked about this. I didn't think he particularly looked exactly like Elton John.
He did in that later stage of male pattern baldness.
But I don't think he got as close to Elton as Malik did to Mercury. And I don't think he sounded much like Elton John. And maybe his mannerisms weren't the same, but he just, I don't know, he portrayed him.
He put the vibe across.
The vibe was across, and it wasn't just, let me get every mannerism perfect and mimic this larger-than-life figure. You just felt like you were watching a person, whereas Malik, you're watching a performance of a guy playing somebody that's larger than life.
Put it this way. There's no doubt. Here's the bad part. The good part is he'll be nominated for Best Actor. 1,000,000% he'll be nominated.
He won't win.
He can't win. You can't give it to two music dudes 2 years in a row. Two legendary, historic rock and roll men. That's just not going to happen. Hollywood ain't going to roll that way.
No.
Boy, there was a eye-opening, oh my God, moment in there. Now, you're not there yet, Mike, if you're continuing to consume Game of Thrones. But this guy came on screen, and me and Danny at the same time were like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Because there, standing in front of us in 60-foot glory, was Robb Stark.
Doing his greatest impression of not the actual person, but the look of Neil Diamond.
Yeah, he looked like Neil Diamond, but he played in the movie, and he had, you know, I don't know who's second fiddle. Probably the mom is second fiddle in this movie. Or Bernie Taupin is, but he's right there as his manager slash lover, Elton John's manager slash lover. And he's a big player, Mike, in the upcoming Game of Thrones scene. And you talk about getting your guts ripped out when old Robb takes one in the shorts. It's tough. It's very tough. Rob's a good man. But yeah, seeing that, what's his name? I don't even know his name.
I couldn't tell you.
Robb Stark.
Yeah, I go, look, Corby, it's Robb Stark.
But he was great.
Boy, he was mean.
Oh, he was so mean. Yes, he was so awful. You know, the thing that I also loved about this, so Elton John was a producer on this. This had Elton and Bernie Taupin's fingerprints all over. They signed off on this. This is the vision they wanted.
Right.
Whereas in Bohemian Rhapsody, it was all about protecting Freddie Mercury. They didn't want it to go too far.
Right.
They did not want people to see that side, full throttle 120 Freddie Mercury. Well, here, Elton John is like, I want you to see it all. I want you to see what a horrible human being that I was through the 70s and how lost I was. And how addicted to everything that I was.
This is one of my favorite parts, is the opening scene when he sits down at the AA meeting and says, I know how this goes. I'm Elton Hercules John, and I'm an alcoholic. And then he lists about 17 other addictions
right
in a row.
And it is very stereotypical of musicians back in the day. They all were, to a certain degree, it seemed like, in one time or another. But the fact that Elton was like, yeah, here it is. Here I almost died like three times because I was such a cokehead and pill popper and drank all day. Here's what I don't understand, because you see people dying left and right all the time, early on, alcoholism, drug addicts and everything. How did like Eric Clapton and Elton John and Keith Richards and those guys,
luck,
how did they come out of the other side?
Luck. They got more better constitution in their DNA, man.
Elton and Eric Clapton probably did it with 12-step. I know Eric Clapton did.
No, he's saying how do they stay alive?
How do they not die within the throes of it?
Oh, within the, just how do they,
I mean, they were,
how do they do all that and live?
If they woke up, if they were awake, they were effed up. They started drinking the minute the minute they woke up.
Man, I don't know.
And then they took drugs all day long, and they did it for, you know, Eric Clapton did it for 2 decades. Elton John did it for 15 years. How do you?
I don't know.
How does that happen?
And then
Len Bias dies the first time that he tries cocaine. You know what I'm saying? Just luck of the draw.
Yep.
I don't know, man, but it is amazing that those guys are around to tell their tale.
Yeah. And, you know, it is a story of redemption. It is a story of love. And, you know, if that's all true about his upbringing, I shudder every time I see stories like this about fathers who are so... And I think this is the way it was back then with the World War II dads, that you just didn't see a lot of affection from them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all. Half the movie's about Elton John wondering why his dad won't hug him. Why won't he hug me, Mom? What's going on? Why won't he give me a hug?
He just didn't roll that way back then, man.
I know, and it's so weird.
You can tell that Elton brought a lot of that therapy, 12-step based methodology into the film, because he spends the whole time trying to get approval and love from things that are temporary, knowing his dad's never going to embrace him the way he wants him to, but still keeps going back for it.
Yeah.
And that he reaches to every freaking drug and drink available to anesthetize and frivolous, promiscuous sex with just strangers. And then in the end, he realizes that, and it's in that great scene with him facing himself as a five-year-old boy and realizing, oh, the problem is I don't love myself. And the yeah. little boy had been waiting his whole life to be hugged.
Yeah.
And he realized that had to come from within. And I know I sound like a total cheese dork saying it, but it is true.
No, and it's very cool.
And it's incredibly moving. Incredibly moving.
Yeah. Being, you know, super gay in a time when that wasn't too cool. Hey, by the way, I thought he married Kiki D. Did he not marry... Don't go breaking my heart.
No, I don't think he married her.
Who was that lady that he married?
I think her name was Renata something or other.
Okay.
Yeah.
That
was not Kiki D.
Because I've never been a big Elton guy. Like, I obviously appreciate what he does, and there are songs that move me, but I've never been like a guy that has been dying to go see a show.
I don't follow all of his, you know, comings and goings and whatnot. But
did you see him in the 70s?
Yeah, I did.
Was it pretty badass?
Yeah. I mean, every time I've seen him, it's badass. And I was really looking forward to that last night, because right now I've got Elton John remorse, something fierce for not going to see him when he was here a few months ago.
Man, don't you wish there was video of that Troubadour show where he broke out
for the first
time?
That would be so cool if that's, you know, an accurate portrayal.
I did go back and read that last night that, yes, he destroyed the Troubadour and became famous.
He was virtually unknown on these shores. I believe his first album was already out, and they booked him at the Troubadour, for 3 or 4 nights. He came over, and he'd been written up a lot, so, you know, if you were in the music scene, you heard the name, and you read the touts and everything. You may not have heard too much of his stuff, but I'm sure people who were with the scene out there in Los Angeles went to the Troubadour, and yes, as the story goes, he just killed. And after night one, if you were anybody in the scene out there, that was the place to be. You had to go see him.
Well, that was a really cool reprisal of that, if in fact that was all true. That was,
and he had about, like, I don't know, 12 songs in his repertoire. Now, this is one thing about the film that kind of bugged me a little bit. I mean, I guess
they went out of order on all that.
Yeah, I guess I understand why they did it, but they had him playing, you know, more contemporary stuff. I mean, those songs were 10, 15 years away still.
Right, yeah.
And I would loved it if they had stayed a little bit truer to it than that. But, yeah, he killed at the Troubadour. And his live album, 11-17-70, is one you should hear if you haven't.
I haven't.
Because that's live from there.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, wow. No, I've never heard that. I'm game for that. I loved it, though. I thought it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm typically not the guy that's into that type of stuff, but I loved it.
Michael?
Yeah, I liked it okay. Once I got my head right with the fact that this was not going to be a biopic, like I hoped, and I was not going to get what I wanted here, and I had to get my head right with it, then I was fine with it.
Neat.
All right, community quick hits are coming up.
Let's talk about the breaking news of the local death.